Okay, let's go ahead with Bible lesson number 118, I guess it is tonight, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, it's Bible lesson number 118. We're on the five steps to success, and we had steps one and two in two previous weeks, and now we're going to take the last three steps tonight, steps three, four, and five. Now, how do I say this? You've heard me say in the past, faith plus action equals results. I mean, anybody that's done Bible study for a while has heard that, and that's absolutely true. It takes faith that comes to hearing the word and then acting on the word to get results. However, what we're doing right now is we're spending some time on steps two, three, and four, which tell us how to get to the point where we can do the word. We've never talked about that very much before. Because if you don't do the intermediate steps, you're never going to get to the point where you can do the word. And you're going to understand it tonight. I mean, it's easy to say faith plus actions equals results. That's easy to say. It's not hard to get faith. Faith comes from hearing the word. But to get to the point where you truly have faith that will support action, take some intermediate steps. And that's what we're really talking about. So last lesson, we discovered a parallel between Joshua's path to blessing, what God told him to do to be blessed, and the parable of the sower. And it's been a while since we met. We may take some refreshing. We'll talk about that a little bit more tonight. But in both cases, the blessing always comes after we hear the word and through strength and courage overcome the problems and distractions that arise when we set out to do the word. Now let's turn back to our text, which is Joshua chapter 1. And remember that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. You know, if you've heard this before, faith, we've talked about, is the thing that forms our beliefs. I mean, the word forms our beliefs. Faith forms our beliefs. And then we talked about that the word will strengthen our beliefs as well. We need to hear the word to strengthen our beliefs. First, we hear the word to form beliefs. Then we hear the word to strengthen our beliefs. Tonight, we're hearing the word, this first part at least, to strengthen the beliefs we already have. Now, let's go back and read again up through chapter 8 what the Word of God says here. So, Steve, would you start us off here and just read the first 8 verses of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, please?
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them,
of Israel.
Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. Now, you see here at the end result of what God is telling them is so that they can be prosperous and have good success. Everything God told them, Joshua, up to that point, is so he could get to that point. Because he says right here that you may observe to do according to what's written in his word. For then, when you do it, you will have prosper. You will prosper and you will have good success. So if you get to the point where you do the word and continue to do the word in a certain area, you will have success. However, to get to that point, you have to do what these previous verses said to do. And he said a couple places, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. God says, I have given you all this stuff. I've given you the land. I've given you every place that your sole of your foot shall tread upon. That's yours. From all the wilderness he talked about, the land of the Hittites, the going down to the sea toward the Mediterranean, all these things shall be your land. Everywhere you go shall be yours. There's not going to be any man that comes against you that's going to be able to stand before you and resist you successfully. All this is great news. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And then he starts to go into the details of how this is going to happen. And this is the part that I have never taught on in great depth before. And this is really the part where people miss it the most. People don't have any problem with hearing the word so much. I mean, you're all here at the Bible study. You're here. You're hearing the word. You go to church. You hear the word. That's not a real problem for us. And we want to get to the point where we do it so we can have good success. But remember, there's five steps to success. If we will do these things the way it says, every area of your life will be successful. If you just do the word in the various areas of your life. I'm going to talk about that in some very practical parts of our lives later on. But what I want to get to you now is there's some intermediate steps that we've glossed over in the past that are really key. And here's what they are, okay? God gives Joshua two admonitions here, basically. In verse 5 that Steve read, he said, there shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail you nor forsake thee. Then he says this, be strong and of a good courage. For under this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. Okay, first of all, he's saying, you're going to have to be strong and courageous to take this land. Even though I've given it to you, even though I promise it's yours, and even though I promise you that no one is going to be able to stand before you successfully, there are going to be problems that arise that you're going to have to be strong and courageous to overcome. I mean, that's just like our lives, isn't it? All of a sudden, we hear a promise in the Word of God. He said, all these things are yours. Healing is yours. Finances is yours. Prosperity is yours. I promise, here's a way to have a good marriage. But you're going to have to be strong and courageous to do the word that it takes to get there. But I'll give it to you. It's yours. Okay, last week we talked about, the last meeting, how we had to be strong and courageous to overcome the problems that arise. In fact, we even found that some problems arise because we hear the word. Okay? Now tonight, I want to go to the next step, the second admonition to be strong and courageous and what it's for. And that's in verse 7. He says, be strong and courageous again. Why is he repeating himself? Because he's going to have to be strong and courageous for a second reason. The first reason was, in verse 6, because you're going to have to go in and actually take the land. They're not going to give it to you. And there's going to be problems that arise when you set out to do that. Okay, we talked about that. I'm not going to go over that again. In verse 7, he says, you're going to have to be strong and courageous that you may observe to do what my word says. Well, you know, I've always stopped at that point pretty much. You're going to be strong and courageous, do the word. Here's what the word says, now do it. Now, what I've done is I've glossed over this part in here. Now, listen to what he says. Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do it. In other words, if you're not strong and courageous, and if you don't stick to it, you're not going to ever do the word. There's going to be not only problems that arise, we talked about last week, but there's going to be something else that arises here. And what is that something else? It's going to be something that's going to cause you to turn away from your goal. And you're going to turn either to the right hand or to the left hand. And because we do that, we're not going to receive the blessing. So if you want to receive the blessing, you're not only going to have to be strong and courageous to overcome the problems that arise and keep doing the word through the problem, you're also going to have to be strong and courageous that you don't diverge from God's path to that blessing. Because that blessing comes by doing the intermediate steps of the word until you get the blessing. It's not just doing it one time. It's a continual life of doing the word in certain areas. For example, if you want healing, you're going to have to confess it. You're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to know what the word has to say about it. And in the intermediate steps, you're going to have to cue to that line to receive that blessing. If you start to turn to the right, we're going to discuss what causes these turns. Turn to the left. We're not going to receive that blessing. And God says, You're going to have to be strong and courageous not to do that. But in this same passage, he gives us a solution. Now, we're going to talk about that tonight. I got really excited when I saw this for the first time in this way. I've kind of known this, but you know, you can kind of know something, but you don't really know it in your spirit yet. Okay, so the second admonition to be strong and courageous is so we don't drift off course on our journey to do the Word. Now we're going to discuss some things that cause us to drift off course. Now, do you remember when we said that this little lesson that God gave Joshua here sort of is paralleled by the parable of the sower? It is. It's very, very much the same. Because remember, the parable of the sower is you want to get to be the good soil because you want to bear fruit 30, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's blessing in your life. Okay, but there was an intermediate step to get there, wasn't there? There was some distractions. There were some things that were going on. Three things happened that caused people to drift off course, weren't there? First, we had the guy that heard the Word. He didn't receive it with appreciation for that being God's Word. It's sort of like, well, I don't know, you know. And Satan said, comes immediately and steals that Word. Then we had the second guy we talked about our last meeting. This guy gets the seed on the rocky soil. And it says he receives the Word with joy. And for a while, everything goes okay. But then it said, when problems come because of the Word, he falls away. Okay, that's the seed on the rocky soil. And that was the subject of last week's lesson. Do you remember what the next one was? The seed falls on ground that has weeds growing as well. And what were those weeds? We'll turn to... Now, I would suggest you leave your finger here. Leave your finger at Joshua 1, because we're going to come back. And turn to Matthew chapter 13. See a parallel here? God is saying, I want you to have these blessings. And then he's saying, but here's some problems that are going to arise. You're going to have to be strong and courageous because there's going to be a tendency to turn off course. Isn't that what he's saying? Be careful, he said. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on course and you'll get that blessing. But if you begin to drift off course, you won't get it. Now, parable of the sower tells us what things cause us to drift off course, okay? And specifically, the parable of the sower, the third person. So let's look at Matthew chapter 12. I've got Mark here. Matthew chapter 12. And look at verse
13.
Matthew chapter 13, thank you. And verse, let's look at verse 22. Matthew 13, 22. Thanks, Steve. All right, Marianne, would you read verse 22? Now, this is the third person. Remember that the first person received the seed? Refused it. The second person received the seed on rocky soil, and he endured for a while in time of temptation, persecution, and all that fell away. They talked about that last week. Now Marianne's going to talk about the third person, verse 22. Go ahead, honey.
What was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful.
Okay. Now, do you hear what it says? This person received the seed of the word, but it came on soil that had some weeds in it. And what were the weeds, honey?
The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth.
Okay. My version says the same thing. Cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, these are two things that can cause you to drift off course. You set your goal. I want to do the word. I heard what God said. I'm in church. I hear something. I'm convicted. I say, I need to make a correction in my life, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's finances. I need to start tithing. That's what it is. No wonder I haven't been blessed. I need to give. And you get all fired up about that, okay? Let's say it is financial success is what we're after, okay? And we hear the word. God said in Joshua, he said, if you hear the word and then do the word, you'll be blessed. You'll prosper, right? He said that, right? Prospering might be healing if you were after healing. Whatever it might be. Prosperity means you get the blessing. All right, so you set out to do the word. Let's say it's finances. You hear about giving, it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. And you're convicted in church. So I haven't been giving. I need to start doing that. Okay, and you start off with that goal. You've heard the word. Faith has come into your heart. Now you want to do that. Now what Marianne is saying, but there's weeds. And what happens is, because these things don't happen overnight, the cares of this world drift in, you know. Well, gee, you know, how are we going to meet our rent if I start giving money away? I've got other obligations too. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, well, you know, I'm going to give later in life, but right now I want to get that promotion, and we're going to get that new car, and we're going to, this is my goal. Now, you don't think of these things together. What I'm saying is you make a resolution in your heart that all of a sudden you go away from church, you go away from the Word, you live a week or two, begins to die down, you haven't read it for a while, and all of a sudden the cares of this world come in, the deceitfulness of riches come in. Another thing it says is, and I'll just quote this one in James, is another one. Remember in James it says, be ye not just hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. Why are we self-deceived in this area? Simply because we hear the word, we get all excited, we see what we need to do, and then we get turned aside by the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. And there's another one buried in James, where I'm quoting right now. He goes on to say, be not just hearers of the word, hearers only, but be doers of the word. And then he goes on to say, but because a person that just hears the word and doesn't do the word is like a man who looks at himself in the mirror, and he sees what manner of man he is, and then goes away and forgets what he saw. And then he goes on to say, the one that hears the word and does it, then that person's blessed. But don't you see that in between there's these obstacles that keep you from doing the word? You know, it's not, I've always just said, faith plus actions equals results. And all of a sudden, God's opened it up to tell the people that there's things in between that are going to try to get their mind off of these things. It's not so simple as just hearing it and then just doing it. There's things in between that happen to take your mind off of it. Another one we just quoted here, what was it? Did anybody pick up on what it was? He looks at the mirror, sees what manner of man he is, goes his way, and forgets. Forgetting is a very big obstacle to doing the word. Simply because time goes by, and we get pumped up to do it, to hear it, we've got the right motives, but then we forget. You ever forgotten what you heard in church? You ever forgotten what you heard in Bible study? You ever forgotten that little nudge you got from the Holy Spirit when you were praying, oh God, what should I do for finances or whatever it might be? Let's say finances still. You know, well, Mike, you really need to be, you haven't been real consistent in your giving. Or whatever. Oh yeah, that's right. I need to do that. And then I go my way, and I forget what mattered, what I saw. Forgetting is getting off course. Cares of this world is turning to the left or to the right. Deceitfulness of riches is another one. You're digging a little nest up there. So I don't know what you're doing. He does that before he lays down. Okay. So there's things that are going to come up. And here's the thing, in everyone, in Sydney's life, in Steve's life, in your life, Danielle, in your life, Matt, in my life, in Marianne's life, there are going to be things that come up once you hear the word, you make your resolution to do that word, and that's all good, but there's going to be things that arise that are going to try to turn you to the right and turn you to the left. That's human nature. That's because there's other things that we have to do. We live in this world. Forgetfulness is another one. Let's look at another one. So far we've had, let's look in Mark 4 in the parable of sower. He gives us a couple more. See, that's the neat thing about the Bible. You can't get all from just one part. You've got to kind of, I like to read things topically, like, okay, what does Matthew have to say about the parable of sower? Now let's look what Mark has to say. See if we can learn anything else here. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 and let's look at verse 19. We're talking about the same guy. The guy that's got the weeds in his life. Sydney, would you please read verses 18 and 19?
And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entered in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Okay, what one thing was added here that we didn't receive in Matthew's version? Does anybody want to tell us what that is?
Unfruitful?
No, the desire for other things.
Oh, the desire for other things.
Yeah, the cares of this world, deceitful riches, we read in the last account, didn't we? But he adds one more thing, the lusts of other things entering in. Now, this doesn't mean physical lust, like sexual lust necessarily, okay? In fact, most of the time it isn't even that. It's just desires. Let's put desires of other things. desires of other things entering in. You ever notice at New Year's, I mean, I don't do this anymore. I think you get to a certain point in your life, you don't do this. But when you're younger, you say, okay, January 1st, I'm giving up this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to work out every day, or I'm going to work out three times a week. January 1st, or I'm going to lose 20 pounds, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. You know, you all have these resolutions. How long does that last? Why? Why doesn't it ever, very seldom ever take? Lusts, desires of other things entering in, cares of this world, other things crowd in and choke what you set out to do. It says right here, other things entering in and choke the word. I looked up the word choke, and it means to drown, to smother, or to crowd. I like smothered. It's pretty close. Other things entering in smother the word. It's not so much you don't believe it anymore. It's just that these other things have crowded in and smothered it or pushed it out of the forefront of what you're thinking about such that it doesn't receive your attention anymore. And you know what will happen when that happens? You begin to drift off course. And that's what God meant. Says, hear what I'm having to say. Don't turn to the right or to left so that you may observe to do it. God knew that you're never going to be able to do this word if you don't, if you turn to the right or to the left. On these things entering in will choke this word. So what's a person to do? You see the problems? Cares, and Luke's version of this, we won't turn there because of time, but he says the cares and pleasures of this life. That's pretty explanatory. It says a lot, doesn't it? It's nothing more than the cares, the family, the things you have to do every day, like in Danielle, taking care of the kids, or the pleasures of this life, or things I like to do. I like to read in the evening when I'm tired. I like to get on the internet a little bit and read the news. I like to... I've got a running club I'm doing this summer with some of the kids, you know, and I'm corresponding back and forth with parents, telling them what we're doing and stuff, and the kids want to go to this thing on Saturday and do all these kind of things. And those are all good things, but these things can, the pleasures of life are all valid and good, except in excess, all taken together, they can smother and choke the word. And that's why God said in Joshua chapter 1, you need to do these things and not turn to the right or left, that thou mayest observe to do it. So you can't do it if you turn it off course. Now look at the little diagram I've got down here. I want you to see this little diagram. I was up there meditating on this the other day, and this little diagram flashed in my mind, and so I wrote it down and scanned it and put it in here. And I did it in red ink, but so it didn't come out as dark as it might have. But anyway, I want you to look at the little dots on that horizontal line there. These are opportunities, supposedly, that's why I put them there, to do the word that everybody has throughout their life, okay? Now, you've set your goal. Let's say there's a blessing you want at the other end of this, okay? And you're proceeding from right, from left to right across the page. Everybody with me here? And to get to that blessing or your goal, let's say over on the left side, and I didn't have it marked down here, I should have probably, the leftmost dot was hearing the word. You heard the word. And when you heard the word, you heard, this is what I need to do. And you got all pumped up about it. Okay? I need to do this if I'm ever going to see this blessing. And the blessing's on the right. And hearing the word's on the left. Now, all the way along here, you're going to have opportunities to do the word to get to that blessing. But you go along for a while, and you kind of forget about it. And all of a sudden, you begin to see the dotted line. You just begin to turn to the left. Or you begin to turn to the right, down there. You take a right turn or left turn. And then you get off course. Because why did we do that? We just discussed it. These distractions. What are these distractions? Cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Forgetfulness. Desires for other things entering in. Pleasures of this life. All those things are normal things in our lives that cause us to lose sight of our goal of doing the word that we set out to do. Now, while you're looking at that diagram, turn back to Joshua, where you've already got your finger. And see the solution. God always, this is what I love about God. When he gives you, sets out and gives you something to do, he tells you then, and here's what you're going to have. When he says, be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right or to the left. We found out all the reasons they're going to get you to try to turn to the right or to the left. Then he tells you, here's how you'll do it. This is how you stay on course. And this is what hit me so hard this week. This book of the law, this is what he's telling you, and this is how you stay on course, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why, Lord? That thou may observe to do what I said. He's telling you right here exactly what you have to do to keep from straying off course, to keep from being distracted by the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, to keep from forgetting. Okay? He's telling you here, I understand these things that are going to get you off course. I understand there's going to be a temptation to turn to the right or to the left. Because I understand that, I'm telling you how to stay on course. And that way is to meditate in my word. That simply means keep it before your eyes every day. That's simple, isn't it? I mean, anything that you want to do, if you're in college and you're getting distracted, you know, some of the kids that are freshmen and stuff, they've never studied that much. They've got all these distractions. They start to turn off course to the right or to the left because they forgot why they were there in the first place, why mom and dad sent them. The cares and pleasures of this life have kind of entered in and they've gotten off course. Some of them forget to go to class anymore. Lust for other things entering in. Deceitfulness of riches, you know, oh, I want to get a job too, and then I'd have more money to spend on things here in college, and all these things crowd in, and they lose sight of the goal why mom and dad got them in college, okay? But if they would every day go back and remind themselves, had something there they could focus on, say, this is why I'm here. You know, right in the bulletin board in front of them, I am here because mom and dad are paying a lot of money for this, and I'm here to get a degree, you know? Now, basically what God is saying, if you don't want to turn to the right or left, and you really want to do my word, and you really want to receive that blessing at the other end, you're never going to make it. Let's put it this way. You're never going to make it unless you meditate in my word. You just won't make it. Because all these other things are going to enter in, and I don't care how good your resolution is, I don't care how much you want to do this, unless you do this, you're going to get distracted. And don't we all know this? I mean, I don't care how much I want to do something. I make up my mind, and I'm a pretty strong-willed person in some ways, and all of a sudden, after a few days or a week or two goes by, I've forgotten all about it. That, whatever happened to that? Or I'll look up on my bullet board. I got a bunch of stuff on the wall beside my chair up there where I sit in the morning, reminding me, and I haven't even looked at it for a month, and I think, oh yeah, I was supposed to be doing this, or oh, yeah, I decided to do this, and I forgot all about it. But God is saying, I understand all that, and it's human nature. You've got distractions. I understand there's a temptation to turn to the right and turn to the left and get off course. I understand there's distractions, but my solution for you is if you will just get in there every day, twice a day, in the morning and in the night, that's what he says here, turn not from it to the right hand to the left. It says meditate in it day and night. I literally did that for the first couple of years I was a Christian. I made sure that I was in the Word every day and every night. Because this thing made so much difference in my life at first, in my business and everything. It worked like gangbusters. But then I don't know what happened. I sort of forgot about it. And I didn't do it like that. And I sort of drift off course here, drift off course there a little bit. And I look back and I thought, you know, I don't do it like I used to do it. I'm not as excited about it in some ways as I used to be. Well, I got excited this week because I read this and God says, you know, if you'll do it just like I say here, you won't have these problems. It's going to be necessary, Mike, to be in my word every day. Let's put it that way. If you want to stay on course. If you set your goal for healing, I don't care. Okay, let's say healing now. I set my goal for healing. There's some sort of medical malady that I'm not, but if there was. This is what the word says to do. I'm pumped up. God says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if he says it, he doesn't lie. That's the way it's got to be. I'm by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Jesus Christ took my infirmity, bare my sickness, he redeemed me from the curse of the law. I know all that stuff, and that's what I'm going to do. Weeks go by. Symptoms are still there. Nothing looks very much different than it did before. And all of a sudden, I haven't been in the word, and all of a sudden I hear a negative report from somebody. And somebody says, you know, somebody else had that, and this is what happened to them. And all of a sudden you get, oh my gosh, you know? But you know what? The solution, God says, I know that's going to happen. It's going to happen. You're going to turn to the right or the left if you don't meditate in my word. If you don't get in my word every day and go back to that promise, what I said about it, you're going to drift, and you're never, and here's the key, you're never going to get the blessing. Why? He said, you got to do this. You've got to meditate that you might observe to do the word. You won't do the word unless you meditate, is what amounts to, is what God's saying here, because of human nature. Now, this is my safety valve for you, Mike. If you want this thing, you are going to have to just be, set your face like flint to get in this word every day and go at least spend 5 minutes on this scripture, whatever it is. It may not, I don't make it, get legalistic, say it's got to be 5 minutes. No, spend some time meditating on, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, I am healed. He said that if I'll incline my ear into his saying, he said if I'll attend unto his word, if I will incline my ear into his sayings, if I will let them not depart from before mine eyes, those same words will be life to me and health to all my flesh. See, that's what, yeah, do you ever understand what that meant? Can you see what he means now? He's saying, my son, attend to my word. What does that mean? That means meditate in my word. Well, how do I do that, Lord? Well, you incline your ear into my sayings. You let them not depart from before thine eyes. And if you do those things, they will be life unto you and health to all your flesh, if it's healing you need. You see what I'm saying here? That's the only way it's going to be helpful to all your flesh is if you attend to it, incline your ear to it, let your not depart before thine eyes. Spend time in his word meditating on that scripture that you need right now for whatever problem that's come in your life. And you need to replace the time that has been spent, especially if you've got negative reports in your life. You've talked to someone said this happened to this person when this happened. You went to the doctor, he gave you a negative report, all these things. Then you really need to get into that word and to meditate on those scriptures. And if you do that, the thing will just melt away and your face will be there again. But the great danger is if you don't do that, you get so far off the course that you begin to say things that are contrary to God's word. Now you got some problems. See, because you got far enough off that the word became distant enough that we begin to say things that are contrary to what God's word says about your situation. So that's what God means about right turns and left turns. And then he gives the solution. He said, it's meditating in my word, day and night. Now, he says in verse 8, listen to this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But, what is but? I was taught in school that but is a conjunction. That means it connects what was going before with what comes after. In other words, what he's saying here, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth but you meditate therein day and night. Now, that means that if I'm meditating his word, I'll be saying what his word says. That's exactly what that means. And if you look up the Hebrew word for meditate, it means to mutter. It means to say. So when you get up in your room or wherever you go to read the word and you've got a problem or a situation in your life, what you need to do is, rather than panic, especially if you start feeling panicky about the situation, to shut that off. You just can't sometimes turn it off in your mind, but it will turn itself off if you'll get back in his word. Meditate on what that scripture, what God himself has to say about your situation, and say it out loud. God said, Jesus took my infirmities, and he bore my sickness. What Jesus bore, I needn't bear again. And just think it through. Meditate on that. Think on what God has to say about that. Hear yourself saying what he says. That's what it means by not letting his word depart out of your mouth. In other words, it almost sounds like don't say it, doesn't it? But what he means is don't let it depart. Don't let it leave your mouth. Keep his word in your mouth. Keep saying what his word has to say. That will bring this left turn and right turn right back down in the center, and you'll be on the road again. That's how you see those little arrows in meditate that's pulling that thing back down there. That's what I mean by that. That's going to pull you right back on course again. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And hear what God had to say right after he said, my son, attend to my word, incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes, but keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Let's read that. And then what happens? What he says after that. It'll make so much more sense. Proverbs chapter 4. Why don't I find it? Here it is. Okay, Matt, it's your turn. Sydney, did you? Okay. Well, let's go through and read verse 20, 21, and 22, and then stop for a second.
My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh.
Who has health to all their flesh? Tell me that. Who is he talking about? Those that?
Us.
Well, not necessarily. What did he just say that it applied to?
To those who find them.
Right? But what do you have to do to find them? The first three verses tell you that, don't they?
Give attention to my words.
You're right. What he's saying here is, my son, meditate on my word. That's all he's saying. If you meditate on his word, this tells you how to meditate his word. You attend to his word. You put them in first place. Number two, you listen to what he has to say. You take opportunities to hear his word. Number three, you let them not depart from before thine eyes. What does that mean? That means you spend time every day. When he says, let that not depart, he doesn't simply mean that you're going around with a Bible in front of your face 24 hours a day. He is saying, though, that you don't go very long without checking in with his word in this world we live in today. If you want to be successful and have a good life and prosper in all that you set your hand to, you're going to have to do this. Why? Because God's going to get hard-nosed about it and take it away from you? No, because he knows you're going to turn off to the right or turn off to the left if you don't do this stuff. And when you get out there, you're never going to end up doing what his word says because you're way out here or way out there. Some people think, well, God's just not going to bless me if I don't do it just this way because he's mad at me. God's not mad. He loves you. All he's saying is, this is human nature. If you don't get in my word pretty often, the cares of this world, all the things in this world, the pleasures of this world, forgetfulness, all those things are going to cause you to gradually get off course. And he's saying, to prevent that, you're going to have to put my word in first place, attend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings, let them not depart from before thine eyes, and say them. Now, it doesn't mean all the time, but it means when you get that feeling coming on, like, it doesn't seem like, oh my gosh, you suppose that, and that little panicky feeling starts to come, that's warning, that's saying you need to get back in that word again, and you need to meditate on that word again, and then that calmness will come. The word is God's answer to stress. His promises are his answer to stress. Okay, now, this is what I wanted to get to. Okay, if you do all these things, what he's saying is, now look at verse 25, Danielle. You read verse 25, 26, and 27.
Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil.
Well, that last verse is familiar, isn't it? Where have we seen that before?
Joshua.
Now, let thine eyes, she said, verse 25, look straight on, or right on, straight ahead. That's what that means. Now, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, how are you going to do that? What is straight? Well, he just told you in verses 20, 21, and 22. This is how you look straight before you. You attend to his words, you incline your ear into his sayings, you let them not depart before thine eyes. That's how you look straight before you. That's straight. That's not stumbling. The person who stumbles, if you read Proverbs and other places, is a person that isn't going by God's word. You'll stumble. Be walking like in blind, stumbling all around like in a dark room. That's what the Bible likens this to. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Listen, verse 26, I love this. Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder where you're going every day. Where am I headed? That's what this means. ponder the path of thy feet, and let all your ways be established. By what? His word. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about is his word. He's saying, ponder the path of your feet. Relative to what? I mean, I could be out in the middle of a woods here, no paths, no nothing, and I'm pondering the path of my feet, and I'm just walking around, lost as can be. That's not what he's talking about. He means, ponder the path of your feet relative to this path I put you on with my word. You're looking at your feet, and you're looking at the path, and you're saying, are my feet on that path? Ponder the path of your feet. No, I went off to the right, or I went off to the left. He's saying, get back in my word. Find out what I had to say about this situation. Start getting back and doing it again. Get back. Meditate in my word. God is telling us what to do here. And this is so beautiful, I think. You can't let your eyelids look right on and straight on, straight before you, unless you know where to look. Where's straight? You're out in the woods. Where's straight? That's straight. That's a straight line. That's a straight line. That's a straight line. No, we're talking about the straight line formed by verses 20, 21, and 22. What happens when you meditate in his word? Look at that path. Look straight on relative to that. Okay? Ponder the path of your feet. That means look at where you are. Look at what your goal is. Look at what you heard. Now, look at me right now. Look at what you heard. Look at what... where you're trying to go with what you heard. Now look at where you are. Are you on a straight line in between those two points? Let's say this is point one and this is point two. If I draw a straight line between there, it'd be like this, wouldn't it? Let's say I'm somewhere in the journey from hearing the word to doing what it says and getting the blessing, okay? And I look at where I what I heard, the word that got me all stirred up and said, this is what I got to do. I look at the blessing, and I look on my path, and I ponder the path of my feet, and I say, am I on this path, or am I way over here somewhere? Am I doing stuff that isn't consistent with getting where I want to go? Have I even thought about it lately? See, God's saying you will think about it if you meditate on that every day. That'll keep you on the path. In other words, you won't get off a little bit, then you get back. You won't get off a little bit, and you get back. You won't get off a little bit this way, and you get back. But if you let a long time go by, you can get way off. And then you wonder, whatever happened to that blessing? It's because we never really got there. We never really got to do the word, because the cares of this life, the pleasures of this life, forgetfulness, all those things that enter in, the busyness of life, we never really got there. So God says, my solution for you people, and I understand this, is to simply meditate in my word. Meditate on that thing that you said you wanted to do every day. Write it on the thing. Then every day when you get up in your private time, spend a few minutes meditating and say, am I doing that? Am I still on path or not? Now, this is what God showed me about this week, and I make no bones about it. This is really what God said. This is where my people are missing it. He's not mad or anything. He's just saying, I want you to have the blessing. And you want to have the blessing, but this is where the turns come. And this is why, and this is how you can solve this problem. One more scripture I want to read, and it's from Deuteronomy. And that's just before the book of Joshua, and we're talking about verses 6. We're talking about chapter 6. Now I'll read this one because it's my turn. God got real blunt. Or let's put it this way, he left little room for misinterpretation when he said this to the Israelites. And he said this. He gave them all the commandments, all the things, the book of the law. He gave them all these instructions before Joshua was to go in. He did it all over again. He did it for Moses. He did it all over again. If you go read this thing, he went through everything all over again. And these are the things he was talking about. When you go in the land, don't do these things, do these things. A lot of them had to do with, don't let your kids marry into these other groups in here. It's going to be problems for what you do. He had all kinds of instructions for them. Now our instructions is the total word of God. But he gave them all these instructions. And then he said in verse 7, well, verse 6, and these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in your heart. Now this is what you need to do with these. Listen to what he said. And you shall teach them diligently. Don't be slack unto your children. And you shall not only teach them to your children, You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And that means things like problems that come up. Well, what does the word say? You know, about this problem or that problem. And I know that you do this in your families, but that is what he's saying. Teach them to your children. Talk of them. In other words, don't just let it be theoretical these and thous to the kids, but talk about how these things should interact to the problems and the experiences that they're having in their lives right now. Talk of them, in other words, when you sit in your house, in a normal life situation, and when you walk by the way, what God's trying to get across to them is just in your daily life, talk about them. Not just devotions, you know, in other words, you know, one time a day we're going to sit down and we're going to have a verse, that's fine. But what he's saying is, bring my word into their daily lives. In other words, when you're walking by the way, oh, look at that, son, this reminds me, and just let it naturally come out in what's coming up in the day. And when you lie down, and when you rise up, let the first thing be God's word. That's meditating it day and night. Now listen, he even goes a little further. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. That means let it not depart from before thine eyes, doesn't it? And he says, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Never seen anybody do that, I haven't, but God's trying to get their attention, isn't he? He's saying this word should be a part of your everyday life. Every single day, not Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, day and night. That's how you receive God's blessings in his life. That's how God is able to bless us, because we stay on course. We don't drift way off, and we finally get to the point where we actually are doing what God said to do. Okay, now, at the very bottom here, and I'm not going to go through this in detail, so don't worry about it when you see all these scriptures, but I'm just showing you, for example, I made a little table up called, this is the blessing I desire. This is my word promise that says I can have this thing. This is some distractions that could occur. And this is the solution. Now, the first three are Bible things that happen. Remember, God said, here's your blessing. I'm giving you the land. This is the first time when Moses was in charge. He gave him a word promise. He says, I give it to you. What was the distractions? They went out and they looked the land over. Giants, walled cities. They came back, 10 of the 12 spies says, we can't do it. So the solution, God's solution was, I've given you this land. The next thing would be to go in and take it. And the next thing they need to do is we'll never know, because they never got there. But the next group did. He said again, after 40 years, this time to Joshua, take the land, the second time. He said again, I give it to you. He said it again to Joshua, I give you the scripture for it. The distraction, what's the distraction? There's going to be giants, there's going to be walled cities. They're still there, aren't they? So the solution for Joshua was, he gave him the solution, didn't he? He says, I'm telling you what to do, Joshua. You're going to have to meditate in my word. You're going to have to do what my word says. You're going to have to be strong and courageous to keep going, no matter what it looks like when people stand up against you. Keep going, because it's yours. And so he did. He went in. He crossed the Jordan, didn't he? And he got in, and then he saw the walled cities, didn't he? Just like the other people reported. There's walled cities. But did you notice something? As soon as the walled cities cropped up, then God gave him a solution, didn't he? And it didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it? And I think it purposely didn't, because he wanted to see if Joshua heard what he said. Because Joshua, if you want to succeed and get through that walled city, you're going to have to do it exactly like I said. You're going to have to meditate on what I tell you to do. And I'm telling you to walk around it once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, walk around it six more times. And on the seventh time around, I want you to shout at the end, and the walls will come down. That made absolutely no sense. But he told Joshua to be strong and courageous, that he might observe to do. Don't you think Joshua every day thought about what God said? For 6 days we know he did, because every day they got up and they marched around that city again. Marched around that city again. And can you imagine? Put yourself in Joshua's place. You've got about a million people or so following you around the city, marching, not saying a word for 6 days, going back every night, going to bed, getting up the next day. You don't think some of these people might have been just wondering of Joshua? You know, I think they knew that Joshua, they knew, because the Jordan River stopped up when they went across. And they marked that for future generations with a cairn there. But even so, this doesn't make sense to your mind, but yet every day they did exactly what God said to do. And then the last day, they marched them around 6 times, and on the 7th time around, they shouted. And the walls, did they fall or did they not? They did fall, because God said they would. See, as you go from one point to the other, let's say it's finances, and you want the financial blessing, you're going to have opportunities to do the word all the way along there, and they may have nothing to do with finances. There may be other things. For example, I've given you this land was the promise. Let me give you that as an example, okay? That was the first thing to do, go in. Did you notice there was another thing to do, though, as he got there, to get the walled cities? It was a different to-do. That is, walk around 6 times and do all the shouting and all that business. Okay, that was another to-do. And if you follow Joshua on from there, he had a lot more things God said do. And as he did those things, they gradually took the whole land. And that's why I have more than one dot on this little diagram here. Because as you set out, there's going to be other things that crop up that you're going to have to apply the word to get to your blessing. And if you don't stay in the word, you're not going to know how to react to those things. This is a wonderful promise. The sad part is, so many people get bogged down by the cares of this world, forgetfulness, pleasures of this life, desires for other things. All these things cause them to turn off course, and they never get to the blessing. And you know what happens if you never get to the blessing? Your faith is damaged. Because the next time you set out on this journey, you think, well, the last time that never worked. Never realizing you never stuck to it. Never realizing you never followed through. Never realizing you took a thing off course. That's why I think he gave Joshua such a foolish thing to do. Just to see if he would do a foolish thing to get to the end. And just say, God, you said, I heard what you said. I heard you say that I need to meditate on whatever you say to do. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. I just think about that. I won't think about how strange it's going to be when I yell. And all those people are standing behind me if those walls don't fall. How foolish I'm not going to think about that. I'm just going to think about what you said, God. I mean, you know, he's a human being. But when you do it his way, you will always, 100% of the time, receive the blessing. The reason we don't see more blessing sometimes is because people fail to, they get off course. So, and then I give you some other example in here. Walk on water. That was a blessing Peter wanted, didn't he? He says, Master, could I come to you? What was the word promise? Come. What was the distraction? The storm. And he began to sink when he took his eyes off of the word. He started to turn a little bit to the left, didn't he? Took his eyes off. And boy, it's really windy out here. Look at the size of that wave. It's going to get me for sure. And he began to sink. Help, Master. He helped him. But he never received the full blessing. I mean, he walked a little bit, but he could have walked all the way back to that boat. Got in just like Jesus did. And then I give you some more down here that things in our own life, like finance, peace of mind, healing, good marriage, children who turn out right, all these kinds of things and scriptures to go with them that you can look at on your own if you want to. But that really is all I had to say tonight. 5 steps of success, and it'll work every time. I'm convinced of it. Now if I can just remember not to get distracted and get this, I'll be in good shape.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, let's go over our homework for lesson 118. And this is the final lesson in the series called The 5 Steps to Success. And the lesson that this homework is on were steps 3, 4, and 5. So let's go over the homework for this lesson. First question, true or false? One thing common between Joshua's path to blessing and the parable of the sower is that the blessing always comes after we hear the word and overcome the problems and distractions that arise when we set out to do the word. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. Both Joshua and the account of the parable of the sower saw that the blessing, in one case, it was the to prosper and deal wisely for Joshua and deal wisely in the affairs of life and to prosper. In the parable of the sower, it was to bear much fruit. Those blessings both came after the word was heard and the problems and distractions that arose in between hearing the word and doing the word were overcome. So that's true. True or false?
One reason God told Joshua to be strong and courageous was so he wouldn't give up when these problems arose. True or false? That's true. That is one of the reasons that was necessary for Joshua to be strong and courageous, because God knew there were going to be problems coming. Number two, a second reason is because it would take strength and courage to apply God's word to situations he would have to face on this journey to the promised land. That's the second reason. Not only were the problems arise, but then in applying God's word, there would be special things there that would have to be overcome. And so that's true as well. There's a tendency in our flesh that after we hear something from God's word and then make up our mind to do it, that to do what we heard, to blank what we heard. What did we learn in our lesson there? Well, there's a tendency in our flesh that after we hear something from God's word and then make up our mind to do it, to forget what we heard. So forget goes in that blank. There's also a tendency to gradually blank off the course we set for ourselves. What goes in there? There's a tendency to gradually drift from the course that we set. We talked about that in our lesson. Name four things that can cause us to drift off course. Well, we found out last week in our lesson that God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night, turn not from it to the right or to the left. These right and left turns that come up once you set to do the word are the way we drift off course. And we found what these right and left turns were was basically described better in the parable of the sower. And they turned out to be the cares of this world enter in, and it chokes the word, and we drift off course. The deceitfulness of riches, you know, wanting more and more in life, and getting caught up in the accumulation of riches. That's a thing that causes us to drift off course. Forgetfulness, we just talked about that. That's a thing that causes us to drift off course. We set out, we're determined, we're going to do the word. We heard what it said, and all of a sudden time goes by, and we kind of forget, and we drift off course. Desires for other things enter in. You know, we start off with good intentions, but then we get caught up in the world and on its desires and things that come in, and we get sidetracked. And also the cares, as Luke 8:14 says, the cares and pleasures of life. All these things can enter in and cause us to drift off course. So there's several things right there, more than four. These things blank us so we gradually turn away from what we set out to do, which is the word. These things distract us. Distractions are things that cause us to make these right and left turns and just turn away gradually from what we set out to do. This blanks the word so no fruit or blessing is produced. What did it say in the parable of the sower that these things do? It says it chokes the word, you know, strangles the word, makes it impossible for the word to produce the fruit that God wants produced, simply because we get sidetracked. In the parable of the sower, the distractions that cause us to drift off course are likened to what? What was that it was likened to in this parable? Remember, it was the wayside, the stony ground, and then what was it? It was the thorns, wasn't it? The distractions that cause us to drift off course are likened to thorns. The way God chose for Joshua to stay on course was to blank on what he said. What did he say? He said to meditate on what God had said. See, you know, if we don't meditate on God's word, if we just hear it and set out to do it and don't really meditate it on a regular basis as we're on this path, we'll forget. And so God says to Joshua, meditate on what I've said. And he said to do this blank and blank. What did he say? He said to do it day and night. God means do this regularly. Don't just do it once and think it'll be enough. Because as you're on your journey to do the word in this specific area to receive the blessing, sometimes it takes more than a day or two. And you're going to have to continue to meditate on his word more than once to receive the blessing or the success in this case we're talking about, which is a blessing. He said also not. He also said to blank not from it to the blank or blank. He also said to turn not from it to the right or to the left. And we talked about these right and left turns, remember, just a second ago.
The reason he said all this was so he would be able to blank on course, and blank is word. The reason he said all this is so he would be able to stay on course and do his word. True or false? However, this only applies to Joshua, since it was said directly to him. Well, most people would answer that false, but why? Why is it false? Why does it not just apply to Joshua? Because he says, Joshua, you're going to want to be the one to lead my people in here. And was he talking to us as leading these people in there? No, he wasn't. So how do we know that when he gave Joshua these steps of success, it will apply to us? Well, simply because all through the Word, these same instructions are given, and they're given even in the New Testament. And it's directed to Christians in the New Testament as well. Some of the places in the New Testament are, for example, in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, where it says, Be ye not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. And it goes on to say that he that just hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man looking at his face in a mirror. He looks in there in the word, he finds out something about himself, but then just goes away and forgets what he saw, and he never receives the blessing. But it says in the same series of verses that the person who hears the word and does it shall be blessed, shall receive this success we're talking about. So this is in the New Testament as well. And this account that I just quoted from James is written to believers. So it does apply to us. And there's several other places in the New Testament as well. Another place that comes to mind is Jesus said in Luke, I believe it was 6:48, he says, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And then he gives us this great example of two men. He says, two men built a house, and the one who does the word is likened to a man who hears the word and does the word is likened to a man who built his house on a rock, so that when the storms of life came, his house stood, didn't fall. But the one that just heard the word and didn't do it is like a man who built his house on the sand, and the storms of life come along and this house is destroyed. He receives no blessing. And so we see another case here in the New Testament where Jesus is talking about hearing and doing the word to receive the blessings and to have the problem. Yes, problems come, the storms come, but you'll get through the storm and come out the other side successful. Whereas if we hear the word and don't do it, that storm will come and completely wipe us out. And so there's another example. So this not only applies to Joshua, but it applies to us as well, simply because of all these other cases in the Bible. And there's other cases as well that we could quote if we wanted to. True or false? God wants us to meditate on his word to keep us busy so we stay out of trouble. True or false? Well, that's false. That was a silly question, wasn't it? He wants us to meditate on his word so that we'll remember to do it and keep it in mind on a daily basis, so that as we get distracted by things in this world, that we never get completely distracted to the point we forget out what we set out to do, which is his word. What did God mean when he told Joshua that the word was not to depart out of his mouth, right after he told Joshua to meditate in his word? Remember, we read that. Meditate in his word and let it not depart out of our mouths. Well, if you look up the Hebrew word for meditation, it also means to mutter, M-U-T-T-E-R. That means to say quietly to oneself. A portion of meditation, then, is to mutter or say his word quietly as we reflect upon it. There's power in this. As you speak, hear yourself speak God's word and ponder what it means, this is truly meditating in his word. So he said, as you meditate in my word, it is not to depart out of your mouth. That means it's supposed to stay on your lips. His words to stay on your lips on a daily basis as you meditate it. You just mumble it to yourself as you consider and ponder what his word says about your situation. And this then causes you to stay on course, not get distracted, not drift off course, not turn to the right or to the left, and continue to do his word so that you'll finally receive the blessing and success at the other end. And then the last question I had was, fill in the blanks with the blessing you've desired in your life and how you would go about receiving it. And I know all of you that are hearing this lesson have different problems and different things, and I hope you've gone and taken the trouble to fill in the blanks with something that you're working on right now. So we all have a different answer here, And my blessing I desired, one thing I wrote down was kids that stay on course. I think as we get older as Christians and we get our lives more or less going in the right path, and we learn more about the Word and we're meditating on the Word, and we pretty well get our lives buttoned up pretty well, we've still got kids out there, and it can be a constant source of worry and concern that the kids, our kids will stay on course. And so mine, the blessing I desired, I put down, I've been through this, I'm not having any problems right now, but I said the blessing I desire is my kids stay on course. And then what is my word promise? Well, I talked about, okay, the Word of God tells me that in Galatians 3:13 and 14 that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, and that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And so, knowing that I am eligible for the blessing of Abraham, I wrote down one of them, Deuteronomy 28:3, that says, God will bless the fruit of my wife's womb. My children will be blessed. I claim that as a promise. Another one I claim is Proverbs 22:6. My word promise is, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's Proverbs 22:6. My wife and I many times have said, well, look, we've trained our children. We've trained them in the way that they should go. Yes, they're going through some tough times now. Yes, they're not maybe behaving as we would have liked them to behave in these circumstances. But we have trained them. And the Word of God tells us that if you train up your child in the way that they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. That old part sometimes gets a little tedious, because sometimes you have to wait a while on these kids. And sometimes it seems like they're going to be old before that ever comes into manifestation in their lives. But nevertheless, if you've trained your children the way they should go and you hang on to this promise, they will not depart from it. What's the distraction that you have to overcome? Well, events that are contrary to what I desire for them. You know, even in the midst of claiming these promises and having your word promised, events happen in their lives that look like it's apparently going against them. And so your distraction then become events that are contrary to what I desire for my children. And I have to weather those storms. Well, what is my solution? Well, one thing I've always leaned on a lot is Philippians 4:6-8, where it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. In other words, when you're in the middle of these storms and trials, and maybe it's your children, in this case, that's what I'm talking about, do not fret about this. Don't be anxious. But in everything, the Word tells us, let this request about your children be made known unto God with thanksgiving. In other words, you come before your Heavenly Father and say, Father, right now, this is happening in my children's life. And you pray about that thing. And then it says, okay, you've let that request be made known to God. Now thank Him for the answer. And then as soon as you've prayed, you say, Father, thank You that You've heard this prayer, that You're working on it now. And it says, if you'll do these things, that the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally, my brethren, think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue or any praise, think on these things. That means we're to control our thought life after we finally prayed. Don't let your thoughts go in this negative fashion. And another one, of course, you can meditate on is the one that we just quoted, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. That can be a consolation, knowing that you've trained them. And finally, I use a lot of times Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on what your mind says is happening here. Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust Him. Trust in Him with all your heart, and lean not into the way it looks to you, and just in your own eyes looking at the situation. Just trust Him with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. 2 Corinthians 5:7 comes to mind. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, you see something's going on, it doesn't look like your prayer is working. Hey, you're walking by faith. You've prayed, Don't look at that situation. Look at your faith. Look at your prayer. And then, you know, I get a lot of pleasure out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 and 18, where it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I love that. For our light affliction, this thing that we're seeing that's happening right now, maybe in our children's lives, is but for a moment. In other words, they're going to get through this. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, if we'll look at the things unseen and not to things seen. For the things which you see with your eyes are temporary, but the things in the Word of God are forever." The things unseen, that's the Word of God, is forever. So these are some of the scriptures that get me through these situations. So anyway, that's our homework for today, for lesson 118, and that completes this homework now.